You're going to know when God speaks. You and I are going to know and hear His voice. We're going to get to know it so good. We're going to hear it so clear. We're going to know this is the Lord. And we're going to say it instead of just pray it. Rise up
and be healed.
What do you say about Jeremiah? I'm going to give you, you're going to pull down nations and lift up nations. But it's not going to be Jeremiah. It's going to be the Spirit that's in Jeremiah. Amen? And so it's the same thing with us. Jesus was our example. He came to show us exactly this is how it's done. This is what it is. And it's here so plain. And I got so much to share. John, let's go to John 14. We'll start there. Lord, I pray that you'd open our eyes, open our ears, our hearts, that we understand what your Spirit is saying to each one of us, Lord. Because you've called and chosen each of us for a particular reason, for a particular job, as it were, a function in your body. And Lord, to fulfill that, we need to be filled with your Spirit. We need to know what you've called us to do specifically, and we need to be believing in that, because there shall be a performance of those things which were told us from the Lord. That's your word, that's your promise to us. But we've got to believe. Well, to believe, we've got to hear, because faith cometh by hearing. And so, Lord, we need our ears open that we might hear. And I speak that tonight, today, God, in the name of Jesus, that our ears would be open to hear what your Spirit is saying to each one of us. And, Lord, we just thank you for what you're doing and what you're going to do in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Praise God. So John 14, let's start 6. Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. If you had known me, you should have known my Father also. And from henceforth you know him and have seen him. Now Philip saith unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. Philip is looking in the flesh. He sees Jesus. He handled Jesus. He knows it's Jesus. But when Jesus starts talking about the Father, it's like, well, where is he? And Jesus said, well, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Now, you have to remember this. You have to put that up on your shelf. Jesus saith unto him, have I been so long time with you, and yet thou hast not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And how sayest then, show us the Father? Believest thou not? Don't you believe that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself. But the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works, because Jesus came in the flesh. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very work's sake. For verily, brother, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. And whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in his Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. This is something too. The name. This is not just a name. This is who he is. This is his character. This is his nature. Use the word nature. If you love me, keep my commandments, and I'll pray the Father, and he'll give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Abide, dwell with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But you know him. And if he would have stopped there, they would have said, we do? Show us the Comforter, and it suffices us. Where is he? I don't see him. But Jesus says, he dwelleth with you, and shall be in you. Amen? Now, they're walking with Jesus, but they don't realize what's involved here. They don't realize everything. They just see a man. They're still trying to believe whether this is the Son of God or not. They're still, you know, but he's trying to tell them, now, look, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Don't you believe I'm dwelling in the Father? The Father's dwelling in me. And the Spirit of God is with you, but he shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. And all this stuff is like way beyond what they can ask or think. And yet a little while, the world seeth me no more, but you see me, because I live, you're going to live also. And at that day, you shall know that I am in my Father, and you, I could say it this way, and you are in me, and I'm in you. If we skipped over to John 17, you'll find out that he says that they may be one even as we are one. Amen? These things all fit together. And if you go to John 1 John 4 and go into that chapter, you'll see a lot of parallels. And I don't think we'll have time to go, but there's a lot of things that are just, they just fit right together. Because it's John. No, because John wrote them both. No, because it's the Spirit that's writing through John. Amen? It all fits together. It gives a little bit of other dimension of it, but it all fits together. And you go to Romans with Paul speaking, and it fits into that. And you go to Corinthians, and there's another part there that fits into that. And you go into Ephesians, and it fits into that. Because it's all the same Spirit. Amen? You might use different words, but it all fits in. It's all the same thing. 20, and that day you shall know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me, and he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. If you do what I tell you to do, then you love me. And if you love me, then my Father will love you, and I'll love you, and I will manifest myself to you. I'll reveal myself to you more and more and more. And the more you see him, the more you'll be changed into that image from glory to glory. Not by your might, not by your power, but by the Spirit of God. It'll be a miracle. You put with that Hebrews where it says, about the God chastening those whom he loves. And then it says about, lift up the hands that hang down and make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed. I am the Lord thy God that
healeth thee.
But not just physically, spiritually. Wilt thou be made whole? Wilt thou be made whole? What's my problem? Well, you know, what's keeping me from being everything I know that I should be is this one thing. This one thing has really got to, I just can't get the victory over this thing. There is more than one thing, believe me. There's another thing and another thing. But anything, there's one thing. And so, but Jesus, God is saying through Jesus, wilt thou be made whole? Do you want to be made whole? And we say, but I can't. When the water's troubled, there's nobody to help me. There's nobody helping me. I'm just here by myself, and I can't find in me the ability to do what you want me to do and to be what you want me to be. I don't find it in me. The things that I don't want to do, I do. And the things that I want to do, I don't do them. Who's going to save me from this body of death? I'll do it, Jesus said. I'll do it. So what does Jesus do? Well, I'll be made, oh, well, I can't, you know, because of this, the other thing. Da, 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 da. I didn't ask you that. I didn't ask you what's keeping you from the pool. I'm asking you, do you want to be whole? Do you want to be whole? Oh, yes, thank you, Lord. All they that call upon the Lord shall be what? What's another word for saved? Delivered, saved, made whole. Sozo. Whole. Wilt thou be made whole? Well, I don't have any money. I don't have any help. I don't have any friends. I can't get there from here. He don't even know who's talking to him. But he says, rise, take up thy bed and walk. Amen? And God created the heavens and the earth, and he said, let there be, let there be, let there be. And there was. Blessed is she that believeth, for there shall be a performance of those things which were told her from the Lord. He won't let me get rid of that. It just keeps coming back. So what is God saying to you? What is God saying to me? What's your biggest problem? He wants you to tell him. Don't tell me, because then I'll have to fight loving you because I know everything about you. I can love you now because you all look good. You all have taken a bath. You smell good. You look good. Now, praise God, he's putting a love in us for each other. Right? Right? He's doing it. But this is God working in you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Hallelujah. And so he wants you to walk. He wants you to talk. He wants you to be able to be, I would that you prosper and be in health even as your soul would prosper. God wants us to prosper. God wants us to be in health, not just physically, but spiritually alive. Amen? Fully alive in your spirit, Lord. Lord, make me fully alive. Well, to be fully alive isn't just that I need this or I need that or I need this. What I need is I need him. Because if I have him, I have
everything.
The fullness of the Godhead dwelleth in my Lord, and you are complete in him. So what we want to seek is not just love, not just faith, not just discernment, not just the gifts. We want to seek him, right? Hallelujah. And he told us how to do it. But you see, there shall be a performance of things we're told her from the Lord. But what's God saying to us? What he's saying to us is, I'll show you the way that I can dwell in you. I'll show you how I'm going to dwell in you. I'm going to show you how, as I dwelled in Jesus Christ, I want to dwell in you. 23, Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words. Now, I know as soon as we read that, we think, well, this is what's written here. But it doesn't mean just, it means this, but it doesn't mean justice. It means today, if you will hear his voice and harden not your heart. If you're not going to do what he tells you to do, if you're not going to go help somebody that just, you know, has a problem and God's telling you to go help them or help you, wants you to give $10 or he wants you to do some little thing that you don't think's very, then you're not being obedient. Amen? Amen? Now look, one of the verses God has been telling us over and over and over again, Matthew 7, many shall say in that day, Lord, Lord, we prophesied in your name, we cast out devils in your name, we done many for works your name. And he'll say, depart from me, works in iniquity, I don't know you. But if a man love me, he will keep my words. He will keep my words if a man love me. That really, it doesn't mean that God, well, this proves that I love him because I keep his words. No, you keep his words because you love him. You know, where am I going to get the love? Well, you're not going to get it from your flesh. You're not going to get it from the law. You're not going to get it from anywhere but from God. Go to 1 John 4, and we started this. Verse 6, we are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. And hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Beloved, let us love one another. For love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. Now, one of the things that he said in Matthew 7 was, depart from me, workers of iniquity, I don't know you. Well, it says in 1 Corinthians 13, the love chapter, if I have all faith to move mountains, if I speak with tongues of men and of angels, if I sell all that I have and give it to the poor, yet if I have not love, profits me nothing. So evidently, somebody could do these things and not have love, not walk in the love, because walking in the love of God is walking in the Spirit. Now abideth faith, hope, and charity, or love. So these are the three things that are really key, because I got to have faith, I got to believe in him, and I got to have this hope, this expectation, because of the things that I'm asking for, yet I don't see them yet, but I'm expecting it to happen. I expect it to come to pass, amen? Instead of expecting the opposite. It'll never happen. It'll never happen. No, I need to have this hope. Okay, the hope of righteousness. I gotta have that. But I have to have this love. I've got to submit myself to the love of God. As it says in Jude, keep yourself in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. Okay, now, faith, hope, and charity. 8, he that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. The law of the Spirit of life that is in Christ Jesus has made us free from the law of sin and death. It made us free from the law of sin and death. It made you free from the law of sin and death. We don't free ourselves. Let's like, oh, when you know the truth, you'll free yourself from the evil. No, it doesn't say that. It says when you know the truth will make you free. So the glory goes to the truth, who is Jesus Christ, right? Is God, the Spirit of truth. Amen? We are his workmanship. Okay, so he sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live, not just that we might have a life, but that we might live. Not exist, but live through him. Herein is love. Not that we love God. Now here's love. Not that, don't come up with your love, but that God has loved us. And when did he love you? When you were in sin and shaping iniquity, right? When we were doing our own thing, right? God so loved us. Even when we were sinners, Christ died for us. So herein is love. Not that we love God, but he loved us. That's the kind of love. And God sent his Son to be a propitiation or an atoning sacrifice for those sins. The sacrifice has been sacrificed. Amen? Amen? Now in the Old Testament, I don't have time to look this up, but when it's Old Testament, I know that it said about when you bring something and you lay your hands on it, and, you know, that is, you're communicating your sins to that thing, and that thing is sacrificed. And so that covered their sins at that time. But what we're doing, we're believing in the sacrifice of Jesus Christ to take away our sins. Amen? But it doesn't work unless we believe it. Amen? Unless we believe it. Satan's always there to point out to you what's wrong with you. And he always wants to keep that up there. And it's not that we ignore the fact that we got problems. But it doesn't, we don't ignore them. We give them to God. We take him to God. Amen? Amen? And he's the one that heals us. Right? Right? And the enemy goes about as a roaring lion seeking whom may devour, whom resists steadfast in the faith. And so you need to resist these things steadfast in the faith, because it's part of the old nature. It's not the new nature. It's not what is new. It's not what God has made. It's what we were. And so these things are trying to come back. They'll keep trying to come back into our life. But the victory is faith, is the victory that overcomes the world. Faith is based on what God says. Amen? So the blood of Jesus, the sacrifice has been sacrificed. I don't have to sacrifice anymore to take away my sins. I got to confess them and then believe in the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen? And then I'm washed. And then I'm clean. And I'm sanctified. Then I'm justified. But you are washed. But you are
sanctified.
But you are justified in the name of Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians 6. So, beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. No man has seen God at any time. No, wait a minute. Jesus just said to his disciples, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. But what he's saying about it is you have seen, because the Father is invisible. No man has seen the Father. But Jesus is manifesting the character. He's manifesting God through him, through a flesh. This is God being manifested in the flesh. And so what God has designed is the fact that we are to be, you know, he is the firstborn among many brethren. And so now we're the brothers and sisters of Christ. And so that same spirit that was in him is in you and is in me. And what God wants to do is to have it manifested out through you and I. Again, not by your might, not by your power, but by his Spirit. so that he might be glorified through my life, through your life. Amen? So what he wants to do, everyone is, you know, he's given, it said when Jesus went up into heaven that he gave gifts unto men. So each one of us have a part in the body of Christ, and that part is to be done not in the flesh, not through the gifts of the flesh, but through the gifts of the Spirit, through the power of the Spirit. We got people teaching the kids out there. And you say, what can kids learn? You know, what can kids? Well, I'll tell you what. If you have the wrong teachers, I don't care what they're saying with their mouth, what they are imparting with their life is what's getting into those kids. Because it's a spirit, the flesh profiteth. I heard this years ago. I was going down the road over here in my truck, and I was listening to this guy, and he's a preacher, and he's talking about, he says, this mental institution had this guy would go in and play the piano at a certain time. He was a Christian. And when he would play the piano, he'd play hymns or something. When he played the piano, it would just soothe these patients down. They would just quiet down. The Spirit of God just was there because this man was playing the piano. Well, he couldn't make it one time, so they got somebody to come in to substitute. He knew how to play the piano, but he wasn't a Christian. He played the same songs, but the effect wasn't the same. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you are spirit and their life. The word of God is quick and it's powerful and it's sharper than a two-edged sword. When Brenda said that, she probably thought she was giving her opinion. You know, it's just what came to her. And she probably didn't feel anything, but it went in. It was a word from God. It's happened to you too, right? It's happened to you. Somebody said something and it just went right in. Well, that's God, not the person. It's God. Amen? So that's why when we pray for one another, we build up one another, the whole body gets edified, because when we're testifying, or when you can just, like we shared that testimony, I'm going to go through it again, but the woman, you know, at Christmas time going up and asking, I want to see that duck. And the guy says, what do you mean, am I saved? And the man got, you know, I don't know if he ended up getting saved, but she got the chance to give the man the gospel. But she didn't do it. She didn't go there. You know, it's a crowded, you know what it is. You just went through it. You know, it's a crowd there, and she just wants to see that duck up there. And like that guy from, you know, the missionaries in the taxi cab, he's tired, he's falling asleep, and this guy just wants to talk. And you know, what are you doing? Well, I just talk, you know. What kind of sales are you in? Sales, you know. Next thing you know, he hears this guy say, well, what must I do to get saved? And then he woke up. But it wasn't the man. And that's what Dan Eckert knows this guy too. And he says he has a gift of just leading people to Christ. It's a gift. It's something that's coming. The treasure is in an earthen vessel, but the excellency is of God. Amen? And so Satan is doing everything he can to stop that, because he can't stop that. But he can get me the cares of this life, the deceitfulness of riches, or the lust of other things, to get me looking other places, so that the power that's in you, the power that's in me, cannot develop to the point where I will hinder Satan's actions, not only in my body, not only in my family, but in other people and in the world, in the country. Just like Jeremiah, it's God who sets up, it's God who pulls down. Amen? Thus saith the Lord. We serve a living God. We serve a living God. We serve a living God. And people need to see somebody that believes they're serving a living God, that they're hearing from God. My sheep hear my voice. And, okay, so he's been dwelling on that. So, okay, 12. No man has seen God at any time. If we love one another. Now, look at this. Maybe it's more than promise. I think Watchman Nee said it. It's not a promise when it says, wherever two or three are gathered together in his name, he's there in the midst also. It's not a promise in the sense you have to believe it. It's a fact. It's a fact. Why? Because if we gather together in his name, he's here. Because he's in you and he's in me. The degree that he's here is the degree in which I believe it, that I receive it, that I'm walking in it. As we read in the beginning, it's progress. It's a progression. It's not, bam, you got it. We got it all. We don't have it all, but we press. We're going to press towards a mark. But the thing we've got to do is that we've got to believe what he's saying to us. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us. So if it's going to be perfected, it isn't perfect. It's on its way to being perfect. Amen? It's a progression. So God, we're going to be able, in God, we're going to be loving one another better and better. It's going to be more and more like God's love. So if somebody does mess up, he won't take you out and stone you. Whereby know ye that we dwell in him and he in us, because he has given us of his Spirit. He's given us of his Spirit. So out of your innermost being flows love, joy, peace, gentleness, kindness, meekness, temperance, faith. Instead of hatred, envy, jealousy, anything that's of the flesh, right? It just comes out. It isn't that you can't be tempted the other way. You're always going to be able to be tempted by the devil. But on the other side of it, it's your nature. It's something that just comes out of your innermost being. It's your nature, which just happens to be his nature. Amen? Because that's his goal. See, Paul said, I travail in prayer till Christ be formed in you. Amen? I am, you are crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, you live, yet not you, but Christ liveth in you. And the life that you now live in the flesh, you live by the faith of, but faith, really, you should be faith in the Son of God. We're believers in Jesus Christ. We're believers in the sacrifice. We believe our sins are washed away. We believe we're new creatures. We believe the love of God is in us. The Spirit of God is in me. Amen? And so we're to believe that. And that's where to fight that good fight of faith against those thoughts that come to us. And I know we give, because we're not perfect yet, we find ourselves doing things and saying things and thinking things that just come out of us and that's not right. That's not right. I shouldn't have said that. Or maybe they stop here and we just stop it here. But the fact that that came up, God wants to get deeper and deeper. Hereby know we that we dwell in him and he in us. We know this. We can know it because he's given us of the Spirit. This is what's coming out of us. And so we need to just say, wow, how great I am. You need to say, thank you, Lord. Amen. You have to recognize it's not you. It's Christ in you. The hope of glory. Amen. It's stuff is actually working. It's actually working. I'm pregnant. Right? Like Mary. It's actually working. How can it work? I didn't do anything. How can it work? I didn't do anything but believe what he said to me. How were you saved? I didn't do anything. All I did was believe what he said. And you were saved, right? Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. So we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God's dwelleth in him. Or we could say God's dwelling in him. And he is dwelling in God. You know, in the beginning of this chapter, it says, hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. Now, any person can say that. I mean, they can lie or they can think that they're saying it and they can't. I mean, they don't have to be saved to say that. But notice he doesn't say person. He says every spirit. And so, and every spirit that confesses not that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. And so, you know, I heard an evangelist say one time, you know, they were in a meeting and a woman started to prophesy. And, you know, they just had questions about whether her prophecies were really of God or not. And they just sensed something was wrong. And so right in the middle of the prophecy, he said, in the name of Jesus, did Jesus Christ come in the flesh? And the Spirit responded, no, he didn't. The Spirit, the evil spirit, cannot say that Jesus Christ came in the flesh. Isn't that stupid? I mean, it's like, he's a liar. Why don't he just lie? But he can't do it. When the Spirit is in manifestation, the Spirit will say. I had another instance where a person was in a motel room and they were praying, and this being came into the room, just bright, shining, and it's got to be an angel. And he started to bow down to him, you know, into worship. And all of a sudden, something came into his spirit and said, ask him who he is. So he said, in the name of Jesus, who are you? In the name of Jesus, he had to say the truth. But see, he was, I almost bowed down and worshiped to Satan. But it sure looked like an angel to me. But that's when we look in the flesh, amen? But praise God, we don't have to depend on the flesh. We don't have to depend on our mind. We're depending on God. We're believing that he is able to keep you and I from falling, amen? And if you got to believe it, I mean, we've got to continue to believe it, because as we continue to believe it, it's going to be continually coming about in our lives. And you're going to get stronger and stronger in him. In him we live. In him we move. In him we have our being. God is actually dwelling in you. He's actually dwelling in me. The more I believe it, the more it's manifested, the more it actually comes to pass. I still confess my faults. I still confess my things to God. But I acknowledge what the Word of God says. I don't know how it is. I don't know why. I mean, I don't know how it happens, but that's what he says. So, whosoever shall confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him, and he in God. Now look, and we have known, let this sink into you in the name of Jesus. We have known and believed the love that God hath to us. It doesn't say we have known and believed the love that God did have for us. If I wanted to fill it in between the lines, I would say, but that was before I messed up. And that's before I didn't do this and I did do this and I'm sorry, but I just can't do that. And all the reasons why God doesn't love me anymore. Satan's always trying to tell us that because it's a lie. He loves you. Are you perfect? No. It's not why he loves you, because you're beautiful. Beautiful one. I have to strike that from the record. Whosoever should confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And we have known and believed. We have known. And so, and you go back to Ephesians chapter 3 and Paul's prayer. He says that you might know the love of Christ that passes knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. He's praying that. I mean, all this stuff fits together, that you might know the love of Christ that passes knowledge, that Christ may dwell in your heart by faith. See, strengthen with might in your inner man by his Spirit, that Christ may dwell in your heart by faith. You being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth, what is the length, what is the depth, what is the height, and to know the love of Christ that passes knowledge, that you might be filled unto all the fullness of God. It isn't just a nice couple of words. He's talking real. I mean, that's what it is. So when you and I pray for one another, that prayer, strengthen with might in our inner man by his Spirit, so that Christ may dwell in your heart by faith. It isn't that you got the faith. It's he's given it to you. Strengthen with might in your inner man by his Spirit, that Christ may be, let's put the word, able to dwell in your heart by faith, so you being rooted and grounded in love. What love? Not your love, not somebody else's love, but God's love. Amen? Amen? Because God is love. And so I can do all this other stuff and have not love. It doesn't profit me anything. Amen? I don't know him. So I want to know him and I want him to know me. Well, he says, you know, this is how it's done. And then to know the love of Christ that passes knowledge. Well, how do I know something that I can't know? Only by the power of the Spirit. And we have known and believed the love that God has to us. And sometimes that's work. That's what shall we do? The works of God, that you believe on him whom he sent. Well, this is the work of God. You've got to believe that God loves you. Even when you've messed up, you've got to believe that God loves me. And even if he chastens me, he does it because he loves me. Not because he hates me. He loves me. He hates the sin because it's going to kill me. It's going to destroy me. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God is dwelling in him. Woo! Herein, this is how our love is made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. So when you get up there in the judgment, and people, you know, it's a fearful time. It can be a fearful time, except that when you know the judge, no problem, right? That's what he says. Herein is our love made perfect, that we have boldness in the day of judgment. Because as he is, so are we in this world. There's no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. But the love that we love him with is not something that we develop. It's something we receive. It's in Christ. It's the Spirit. It's the Spirit of the Father. Love, joy, peace, gentleness, kindness, meekness, temperance, faith, these things, right? Right? 2 Corinthians chapter 3, and I'm cutting this short, but it's so, when you start, the Spirit starts putting these things together, you start to see things, how this all fits together. Okay, 3:3. You show and make obvious that you are a letter from Christ, delivered by us. Boy, Paul, you're boasting. No, he's not boasting. He's saying the truth because he's been called to be an apostle. He's been called. And so he's speaking, but it's not him that's speaking. It's you are a letter from Christ delivered by us, not written with ink, but the Spirit of the living God. You take this back to Hebrews where it says, this is a new covenant, and I will write my laws on your heart and I'll put them in your mind. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. He's changing your nature. How? By the Word of God. So if you receive with meekness the engrafted Word, it's able to save your soul. You're transformed by the renewing of your mind. It's all hooked together. Not written with ink, but with the Spirit of living God. Not on tables of stone, but on the tables of human hearts. And not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything of ourselves, but our sufficiency of God. I'm going to skip all that. But he's talking about, and that's another thing. He's talking about the administration of death, which he meant the law, which was written on these stones. And Moses had to put a veil on his face because the glory of God was showing off his face and the people couldn't bear to look at him. And so this veil was over his face. But he says every time the Old Testament is spoken, this veil comes over their face and they can't see. But we all, I'm going to read this in the Amplified, and all of us, as with an unveiled face, because we continued to behold in the Word of God as a mirror the glory of the Lord, are constantly being transfigured into his very image in ever increasing splendor from one degree of glory to another. For this comes from the Lord who is the Spirit. Amen? Praise God. I know your flesh says, oh, good, he's done. but it's going into your spirit. It's being written on your heart. You're a letter of Christ. He's writing things on our hearts. He's changing us. And the fight is a fight of faith. We've got to believe what he said. For there shall be a performance of those things which were told her from the Lord. Because you believe it. Believe it today. You are God's workmanship. He's writing it on your heart. And it goes with Ezekiel 36. I'll take out your stony heart. I'll give you a heart of flesh. I'll cause you to walk in my statutes, to keep my judgments and do them. Wow! That's an exceeding great and precious promise. That by these we might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped, Satan's always over here, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And every one of us had it, but God is delivering us from it. Not from the outside, but from the inside out. Amen? To God be the glory. Great things he has done. Amen? So rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say rejoice, because he that begun this work in you is going to continue to perform it. You continue to believe in him. Amen? Again, Satan wants you to believe in you. He wants you to believe in this, and he wants you to believe in that. But he's taking you away from God. No, no. Our hope and our trust is in him. And if I mess up tomorrow or this afternoon, all I do is confess it and believe it and then go back to rejoicing in him. Because his mercies endure forever. Amen? And he will not fail. He will not fail. Amen? Praise God. Father, we just thank you. We praise you this morning, Lord, because you've begun this good work in us. Your promise is you're going to finish it. You're going to bring it to perfection unto the day of Jesus Christ. Lord, we didn't start it. No, we didn't come to you because we decided it. You called us out of darkness in your marvelous light. You've seated us together with Christ in heavenly places, far above all principality, power, might, and dominion. Every name that is named, that your name be praised and magnified in our lives. And God, we give you the thanks and the praise for it in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Praise God.